Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ed Boylan, and this is a podcast regarding the Sermon on the Mount. And as we wait for our co-host, Bud, to show up, we'll play some music from John Michael Talbot.
Ed, can you hear me?
Hey, Bud, welcome. I was just playing some music while we waited for you to show up.
Yeah, sorry, I had a phone call that went a little long.
Oh, no problem.
In my other world.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
As I've mentioned in my podcast and as I put out in the description, this is going to be the first in a couple of podcasts that we're going to have, and we're lucky enough to have Bud, who has spent a tremendous amount of time studying the Sermon on the Mount and really gaining some insights into it. So, but I thought we'd start quickly with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, and we thank you that you've allowed us to have Bud join us in our podcast to help to spread the news of your good news and of the word that you've provided, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, which is universally known and forms the foundation for so much of what you wanted us to do in your commandments. So thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Bud, I'm going to turn it over to you. I have a couple of questions, and maybe we can start the discussion. You know, we know that there are three chapters, and we know that it's in Matthew, but do the chapters have different themes to them?
I think that's a great question, Ed. I think they do. I think the first chapter really focuses on the definition of discipleship. And we really need to remember that before this, Jesus very somewhat systematically, but very definitely selected men that he wanted to join him for a period of time, and some of the stories are very clear, where he walked up to fishermen and said, "You guys have been fishing for fish. It's time for you to fish for men. Come and follow me." And in the biblical descriptions, we see that they dropped what they were doing and followed him. And so a big part of this first chapter is for Jesus to talk about what does it mean to be a disciple, and I think it's a question that we still wrestle with and struggle with. So that's the first part. I think the next part talks a lot about community and what that looks like within the church and outside of the church. And I think the third theme is a real kind of closing with some deeper illustrations that Jesus, as I like to say, he lands the plane. He makes sure that he's covered all the bases and closes with a great illustration about a man who builds a house. So,
super. So let's talk a little bit about the attitudes, the Beatitudes. How would you like to address it or start off with that?
Well, I think it'd be great if we read them. Do you want to read them, or do you want me to?
No, please, please. People are probably tired of hearing me, so they're happy to hear you.
All right. So I'll start with verse 1, and I'm reading from the Revised Standard. Now, when he saw the crowd, he went up to a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God or sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thus ends the reading of the Beatitudes.
Beautiful, beautiful. So where does that take us? You know, is there a reason for the order of the Beatitudes? Is there some other meaning to it that you've ascertained?
Well, I think if we look at it, it can represent the progression that a person goes from unbeliever to fully devoted follower. Think of it this way. The first one, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that really the first thing that we have to come to grips with, is that we are poor in spirit?
Absolutely.
That we have a need? That there is sin in our life, and that God hates sin but loves the sinner. I think this first beatitude is the first step that someone has to do when they start the journey of faith. Does that resonate with you, Ed?
Does that make it sense? It does. Because without that recognition of those people who are humble from that perspective, you're not going to be starting on an appropriate path. You're going to be heading down a wrong path. So it does. It makes a lot of sense to me.
And it reinforces what we say. You know, when you make a profession of faith, you are going to get to heaven. And you remember, last time we talked, I was going to say yesterday, but on our first podcast, I said that so much of the Sermon on the Mount really serves as a train station. When you think of a train station, all the other trains come into the train station, people get off trains, and then they go to different destinations. But that train station is really a hub. And let's remember the words of Jesus, where he said, if I need to leave now at Ascension, and we're in the time of Ascension in the church calendar, when I leave, I have to leave because I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And here we see that the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful promise for us to hang on to in uncertain times, whether it's a pandemic or personal difficulties that we're going through in our life, to know that there is a promise for us beyond this world. That can be very comforting, and a great way for Jesus to start in the very first thing that he says in his sermon.
I can't imagine people not having that hope or not recognizing their need for God and his grace. You know, it's amazing that there are so many people who still don't acknowledge it or don't know about it.
Well, and I was not raised in a home that was faith-based. And so I spent years of my life without that, and then after I made a commitment to Christ, there was also time when I wasn't following as closely as I could have, I think that's part of it. So the next one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Ed, do you see the parallel that after we recognize that there is a God and it's not us, that
yes,
he is holy and righteous and we are not, that we go through a time of mourning and realize that we need to do something about our sin?
What better comforter than to have Christ, God, handling our comforting?
And for us, as we just have through the Easter season, to recognize the sacrifice that he made for us on our behalf, and and for us to mourn that and recognize that and turn to him and acknowledge him as the way and the truth and the life. That for me is the conversion experience.
Amen. Amen.
Right after that, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." We've been around people, I know I have, that have been new in the faith, and there's such an enthusiasm for them. How many times have you heard someone say, "Oh, I just feel like this incredible weight has been lifted off my shoulders," right? There's an enthusiasm in their life, but they also should come to grips with the fact that, boy, there is a whole lot that they don't know. Now I need to do deeper work to find out who this Jesus is. What role is he going to play in my life? What is that going to be like? How do I begin my Christian walk?
Right.
It's a great opportunity. I think the opposite of meekness in my lexicon is pride, and to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and begin the journey of walking in his ways. So that's how I see that's what I think of when I read "Blessed are the meek." What do you see in that, Ed? What do you take away from that verse?
I would agree with you. There's a sense that I have too that someone who's meek and humble really are much stronger than they led on to believe, or that we in society perceive them to have. It's difficult. I can't imagine, when you reflect back on Jesus's passion, I can't imagine standing there taking the accusations that he did, the physical abuse that he did, the spitting, one of those things that's my pet peeve. I don't like when people spit at me or on me. And he just took it and prayed and asked for forgiveness from God instead of lashing out back at them, asking the host of angels to come down and protect him. He just accepted it as what he had to do. And I think there's an inner strength for people who are like that, who don't express their anger or are able to maintain their humbleness. And I think that's a phenomenal strength and talent. And so they're much stronger than people, I think, perceive them to be. Being humble is not weak. Being humble is a choice that you've made.
That's a great statement, Ed. You know, humility is not a sign of weakness, and it's truly a sign of strength. One of the things, as I started to spend more time in this, I thought, well, what does it mean to inherit the earth? I mean, does that mean that we're going to have tremendous financial resources and be able to have whatever we want on the earth? But I thought of the revelation of John. And in the revelation of John, he says, "And behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth." After Jesus comes back and after he has righted all the wrongs, and as it says, and he has dried every tear, the earth is going to be made anew. And we know that there are going to be people that are going to be on that earth. And again, I think this is an affirmation in the same way that the previous verse talked about the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of earth is going to be another thing that we will have in the next life. It's good for us to remember that this is not our home.
Yes, I think that's so important. I think we spend so much of our time thinking of the secular world that we live in now, and not enough time on what really is the more important part, which is our eternal home. And we lose sight of that constantly. That's Although a very good point.
I do think the Sacramental Church does a better job with this issue than sometimes the more evangelical churches. I think because of Mary, the saints, the days that are set aside to remember those, I think it is truly part of the sacramental walk to understand that there is life for us beyond this. And let's also remember, Jesus said, it is good for us to lay up treasure in heaven. And that's absolutely also what we're, depending on how long you and I go through this, we're going to get to be able to talk about it. As an aside, it's amazing how much of the Sermon on the Mount deals with real world issues, whether it's money or there's just a lot here. But I'm running far afield. I should stay at the Beatitudes. No. Let's see if we can knock these out, and then it'll be interesting to hear what kind of comments we get back from folks.
Absolutely, and it'll give a little bit of a teaser for what's to come, because it is amazing how the scripture really can be a guidepost to stuff that's happening now, to our everyday life, and people. We don't spend enough time in the Word, or we read it so that we can say, "Oh, I've read Mark, or I've read the Bible, or I've read Acts." But they never spend the time to listen to what God is saying as a result of their reading. And that's what I think is so impressive by what you did. You said to us the other day that you spent, what, a year or 2 years in the sermon?
No, about most of 2020 reading or meditating or listening to, being able to listen to the Sermon on the Mount. I found a couple places where I could get, you know, the Bible on and download it to my phone, and then I had it set up so that I have a 30-minute commute each way to work, and I was able to many days listen to the Sermon on the Mount going back and forth to work and just letting it soak in and
listening to what God said to you about the Sermon on the Mount and what He wanted you to be able to tell people. That's, I think, the thing that separates you from a lot of other people who said, yeah, I've read the Sermon on the Mount, or I've heard it at Mass, and I know what it's about. Maybe someone has divine inspiration and they only can hear it once and know it, but I'm impressed by the time you spent in it. So anyhow, I don't want to stop you. Please continue on with the remaining Beatitudes.
So the next Beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For me, this is really about beginning to building on what you just said, Ed, our need to meditate on the Word of God, our need to take the time to read the Word, and as you read it, read a section and say, oh, God, what do you want me to hear from this? What's the message you have for me today?
Right.
What can I learn? And this is a call that we hear from Paul in his later epistles that says, you know, you've been drinking milk long enough. It's time for you to start to eat meat and to dig deeper into the Word and to spend time and meditate on it. This is the next evolution in the Christian's life. They go from their assuredness of salvation and an understand that there's a life for them beyond this earth. Now the next iteration is for them to begin to understand the teachings in the Old and New Testament and to begin to incorporate that into how they live, how they talk, how they treat other people, and to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to bring about transition in their lives. It's God's goal to make us Christ-like.
Right.
We read in Corinthians, the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. New creation. I am new in Christ. And so this is beginning to speak to that transformation and understanding that the Word of God prayer, fellowship are the key components into making that transition take place.
And I think it's a good point here to mention to people who may be new to a walk with Christ that it is a spiritual journey. You don't decide to become a Catholic or to believe in Jesus, and all of a sudden the keys of the kingdom have been handed to you, and you now are filled with all of the knowledge, and your life is going to be wonderful, and everything is going to be fantastic. That's not at all what Jesus said when he was here. In fact, he told the apostles that they'll have to carry a cross the same way he did. And we're all going to have those. And we will eventually, as time progresses and we allow ourselves to respond to the thirst and hunger that you're talking about, to gain more knowledge. But he gives us the knowledge we need for what we need to know in the time and the moment we are. So I think it's a really good point.
The next one is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. As you said, this speaks so directly to Jesus during the Passion. I just today had an opportunity where I was in a conversation with someone, and they were saying things that about me that weren't true, that were, and everything in me wanted to defend myself. And this wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like it was, they weren't accusing me of a crime or something.
Right,
like
right.
That, but just in casual conversation, and I chose to be silent. I chose to show mercy, and this speaks volumes in how we treat one another. Because grace has been shown to me, I should show grace to those around me. Amen. And I should especially show grace to those that aren't following Christ.
Amen. And it's so opposite of what we do in this world now. When we're struck, we strike back harder.
And that can be, that doesn't have to be just limited to physical.
No.
That can be verbal.
Absolutely.
The word says that the tongue has the power of to give life. Yeah. So we have to choose to give life.
And the issue of mercy, for anyone who listens to this podcast knows that I read from the Divine Mercy in My Soul, the Diary of Saint Faustina, and she talks about Jesus' divine mercy, and he asked her to make sure the Divine Mercy Sunday is in place. But also goes, not only does Jesus talk to St. Faustina about it, but the Lord's Prayer says, forgive those who trespass against us. And, he has said from the beginning that we are to forgive those people. And more importantly, not only just the forgiveness, but we spend a lot of time judging people now and making judgments about people. I can tell you, bud, I hope and pray that God doesn't judge me the way I judge other people. Because if he does, he's not going to allow me into heaven. Because my judgment sometimes is just horrible. And we shouldn't be doing that. And I know I shouldn't be doing it. But
And now you wanted to talk about a teaser, Ed. Well, that right there, that's a teaser. Because not only is the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, but he also makes some very, very strong statements about us judging others and how we view others. See, these first Beatitudes really become a jumping off point for a lot of what we're going to find as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. And on several places, and this is a great, here's homework. Homework for the class. As you read the Sermon on the Mount, look for things that Jesus say that you can reference back to the Beatitudes.
Wonderful.
That is a fun exercise. And I certainly have not completed all of it, right? But as Ed, you just said, when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is talking about how we should judge others, that's a direct correlation to what he said when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy."
Right.
So that's good homework for the class.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why don't we do one more, because we're coming up on 35 minutes, and then you can decide if we want to keep going and finish out the Beatitudes. But the next one is blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For me, personally, I felt that this verse led me into personal confession on a regular basis. Pure of heart. We know that when we confess our sins, that he removes them as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
And the great part about that, when we think about that from our worldly perspective, we think, well, you know, if I go east long enough, I will eventually go around the earth and I will come back to where I am, you know, because the earth is a globe. But the reference there is really that it's infinite. If east goes forever and west goes forever, because God has created a wonderful galaxy that we can look up and look at and see. So, and we know that scripture also teaches us that he remembers them no more. So
right.
That's gone, right?
Right.
But the pure of heart for me, when I do my morning prayer now, when I read the confession, I take some time and I have written down the seven deadly sins in the margin, and I ask myself, when was I envious? When did I lust? You know, and to go through each one of those and think about it. And to have that personal time of confession, to feel the forgiveness of Christ, and to know that it's creating a pure heart.
Absolutely.
And the next day I'll do it again. And the next day I'll do it again. But it's a healthy reminder for me of who's God. And it's not me, and that I am fortunate to be loved by God, and that his love is never ending. And because of that, I can confess my sins and make sure that there's nothing between us. That barrier that is on me has been removed.
Amen. I'm sorry?
Does that make sense, Ed?
It does. And I think what I really like, it strikes me now as I'm hearing you talk about that, is that we have, in the Catholic Church, our Liturgy of the Hours, and I haven't been doing it enough, but I used to do night prayer. And one of the things we do at the beginning of night prayer is an examination of our conscience. When were those times when we separated ourselves from God by our actions, by our lustful thoughts, by our being envious, by our being less than merciful to someone else? And we're supposed to recall those things, and we're supposed to give them to God and ask him for forgiveness. Not only do we do it in the sacrament of reconciliation, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with going to God. In fact, you know, part of what Jesus told St. Faustina is, come to me and tell me and repent of your sins. And if you trust in my divine mercy, I will stand before God on your judgment day and defend you. But you need to trust in my mercy and know that my mercy is unfathomable and is without question one of the greatest gifts that we get, in addition to eternal life as a result of his resurrection, but also his merciful love. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that be the pure of heart? Examine your conscience and go to God. That's outstanding.
And what a great promise on the back end of that.
Absolutely.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Absolutely. We will see God like the angels see God. Can you? Yeah. I can't imagine.
I can't.
How wonderful that will be. I say to my wife all the time, can you imagine what it's going to be like when God tells us, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom. And the first thing we get, you know, everyone says, oh, it's going to be great to see mom or dad or our sons or daughters or our dogs or whatever. But the first thing that probably is going to happen in my mind is Jesus is going to give us the biggest hug we've ever had in our life. And I can't even imagine how fantastic that feeling will be.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And that's what I want. I will tell you in an act of communal confession that I used to be very much one who wanted to keep up with the Joneses, and I wanted to have all these wonderful, powerful things in the world. I wanted people to respect me. I wanted people to know who I was. And I wasn't as happy as I am now when all I want is for God to be happy with me or for our Blessed Mother to look down and say, "Hi, you're doing okay, Ed. I'm happy with you." Those are the things that I want to know are happening now, as opposed to whether I have a brand new car or my house is bigger than somebody else's. So, it's important. It's important for us to remember.
So let's do one more and then we'll stop there if it's okay with you, Ed. Because
I think it makes sense. Perfect.
Then we go into persecution, and that's a topic that I think we can spend some time and flesh that out, because I think it's important. But so the last one we're going to look at is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Again, going back to the passion, I don't want to make this political, but is it okay for me to say that in the world we're in right now, there is a crying need for peacemakers?
Oh, it's not. Yeah, it's very true. No, there's nothing wrong to say about that at all.
And we have an opportunity to make a difference in the world by loving people. What does the word teach us? They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Absolutely.
And choosing peace is a powerful way for us to illustrate the love of Christ.
Yes.
Now it doesn't. Now let's reframe here. That doesn't mean that we become doormats. Although there is, we'll talk about that maybe in next time we do this, as it relates to persecution. We also know that Jesus cleared a temple because he felt that they were dishonoring his father's home. So you know, there's and it's pretty clear reading through Acts and some of Paul's epistles that he was more than willing to make corrections and speak
Absolutely.
Out the things that he felt that were important. You know, but we can reflect the peace of God. Remember, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And in the same way that I think it's good for us to pray through the seven deadly sins and confess those things, as soon as I am done with that, I immediately pray and ask the Holy Spirit to manifest in me his fruit. And I pray for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control.
Amen.
I remember a long time ago when I was very young in my spiritual walk, someone said to me, "You know, people say that the Bible is full of a book of don'ts." He said, "I don't worry about that. I read the Bible and look for the do's, things that I'm told to do." And he said, "Then if I spend my time doing the do's, I don't have time to do the don'ts."
That's fantastic, actually. But it's true. Well, you know, and it's looking at the positive as opposed to the negative, right? And The other good thing about, and one of my last comments is, as I'm rereading and listening to you about peacemakers, one of the things that we're all called to do is to share the word of God. And by doing that, we end up spreading God's peace, because his message is love and peace. And you know, that will help to sow the seeds. And I want you to know how appreciative I am of what you've done with spending time with us today and helping to spread the good news by discussing the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's monumentally important for us in our lives to understand these things and to recognize, you know, when God's talking to us, and he's doing that through you today. And so we're very appreciative of the time that you spent with us.
Well, it's a blessing for me. And Ed, I'm so thankful for what you're doing with this podcast. And let's let everybody know the next time that we get together, we're gonna spend some time and talk about how we're supposed to deal with persecution, because the next three verses all deal with that. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of the last time I was in a church and that was the topic of a message. So.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever been in a church where that was a message.
So we won't spend a lot of time on that, but I think it's in the Word.
Absolutely,
it's gonna happen.
Well, I look forward to it. We will make sure we will get together after the podcast is over, and Bud and I will come up with some times. And I'll make sure to post them on there. I would ask anyone who listens to please do me a favor. And I recognize that sometimes this can be inconvenient, but Bud and I would really like to know what you thought of us, what you thought of the podcast. If you have time to make a comment, that would be great. If you would just hit the like button, that will let us know as well whether or not you're getting anything from this, or, you know, but in particular, if you could spend a second just to let us know, did you like what we covered? Did you want us to cover something else? This podcast is for you guys. It's not for us. So we look forward to hearing your comments. But again, thank you very much for it. And we look forward to the next time.
Yeah. And the other thing, Ed, is if people feel like this has value, you know, it would be great if they would tell other people about it. And because Ed and I have these kind of discussions, we've been talking about doing this, but it's really the discussions that he and I have when we just open up the Word. And if this, like you said, if this has value and people like it, that's great. We're doing what we think that the Lord would have us do, and choosing to be obedient in that. And we do hope it's been a blessing. And if you have things that you would like Ed and I to pray for, specific requests, don't hesitate to send those, and Ed and I will commit to lift those things up in prayer.
Absolutely.
Ed,
God bless, Bud.
Why don't you close this out in prayer?
I will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time again together. And help us to remember today to find opportunities to spread the word about your good news. And as St. Francis said, preach the gospel always. And if you have to occasionally use words, do it. Let our actions be reflective of what we know in our heart about you, Lord. And let us be peacemakers, and let us be people of integrity, so that one day we will stand with the angels and see you face to face and feel the love that you have for us now will be even that much more dominant when we're standing right there next to you and the Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bud, a blessing. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, and God bless everybody.